Make me what he thinks I am, is my humble, gracious plea. Help me ever be the man this small lad sees in me. 2 Kings 17:41 says, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. Proverbs 17:16, I say this, I close, but that doesn't mean you're closing. Proverbs 17:6 says, the glory of children are their fathers. And I wonder today, are you really the glory of your children? Amen. Are you really a father of faith? Let's all bow our heads together, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I believe you've helped me today, and I appreciate it. I need your help. I've got to have it. And I pray that you help me to guide, lead, and direct in this. Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. And I appreciate the music around this place. Appreciate Brother Gary and his hard work and all these dear choir members and those who sing specials, the instrumentalists, doing a great job, and I appreciate it. Music that touches the heart, you know, and we praise the Lord for it. John chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 46. John chapter 4 and verse number 46. All day today we'll be back on the parent-child relationship, and Lord willing we'll be concluding with this relationship today, tonight in the service. And then Wednesday night we'll be back to the family church relationship, and then the remainder of the series will be dealing with the foe of the home on Sundays and your personal questions on Wednesday. So I encourage you to make special note of that. John chapter 4, verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, a father of faith. A father of faith. Tonight, Lord willing, we'll be dealing with a model mother. But this morning we're going to be dealing with a father of faith. Let's pray together. We'll share this with you. Our Father, we love you today and we thank you for your goodness to us. Would you forgive my sins? Help me to preach with power and clarity and understanding. Thank you for this great number coming out. Pray that you make it worth their time by speaking to them. And Lord, may you take control of this service. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel for you to flow through. May the devil and his evil spirits be defeated and Jesus Christ be glorified. In his name we pray, amen. In 1960, the total number of children living in fatherless homes was fewer than 8 million. In 1997, the total of that had risen to nearly 24 million. Amazingly, that was nearly 4 out of 10 children in America in 1997 were being raised in homes without their fathers, and soon, and it may even be there now, it could be as many as 6 out of 10. Now, almost 75% of American children living in fatherless households will experience poverty before the age of 11, compared to only 20% of those raised by two parents. Children living in homes where fathers are absent are far more likely to be expelled from or drop out of school, develop emotional or behavioral problems, commit suicide, and even fall victim to child abuse or neglect. The males are far more likely to become violent criminals in a home where the dad is not present. As a matter of fact, men who grew up without dads currently, this was in 1997, represent 70% of the prison population that's serving long-term sentences. Think about it. Now, I say this to let you dear people know that that's terrible, to have a person, a boy or a girl, to grow up in a home where a dad is not present. But I submit to you today that there's something far worse than that. And that is for a child to grow up in a home with a daddy who's not a father of faith. Today I want to help you. Dads who are living in such a way that gives a clear message to their children that God's not important. Now I wonder, are your children growing up without a dad who teaches them the ways of God? Are you a father of faith if you're a dad? Are you truly, I'm not asking are you a faithful father, I'm asking are you a father of faith? There's a big difference. And let's look into our text and bring out some things about this particular father. This nobleman, if you will, in our text shows us what a true father of faith is all about. Now in context, we see that this nobleman's son was sick. And this son was so sick that he was at the point of death. In other words, things did not look great for this man. Things were not going the way he wanted it. He was carrying a very heavy burden at this time. Now I want you to keep that in mind, that this man's son is sick at the point of death. And with that in mind, I want to bring out several things that summarize this man that shows us that he truly was a father of faith. And I want every man to listen to me. I want every lady to listen too, because you can learn lessons from this. Just like the men tonight can learn lessons from Hannah, the model mother. So don't tune me out if you're a female or if you're a mother, because you can learn some great lessons. But specifically, if you're a man and if you're a daddy, you need to pay very close attention to me. Because this man, you ought to put yourself up beside of him and say, am I doing the same things that this nobleman did with his life? Number one, the first thing that summarized this man as a father of faith. And now this is not alliterated. You say, what's that mean? If you don't know, it doesn't matter, but it's not alliterated. And what I mean by this, number one, directly from Scripture, verse number 47, the first thing that summarized this man that calls him to be known as a father of faith, number one, he went to Jesus. We see this in verse number 47, where the Word of God tells us this, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea and the Galilee, here it is, he went unto him and besought him, and he would come down and heal his son. He was at the point of death. One of the greatest things that a dad can do for his children is to go to Jesus on a regular basis. The word went here carries the idea that he went off at once. It's interesting that this word is not a word that means that he tried to figure it out himself, and then when he couldn't figure it out, then he went. No, no, no. That word went, where it says he went unto Jesus, it carries the idea of at once. When his boy was sick, he didn't think twice. He went directly to where Jesus Christ was. And let me tell you something, there's a great lesson for the men to learn right here. I'm a man. I know how a man thinks. I know how daddy thinks. Men try to be the answer to every situation and circumstance in life. Men and fathers try to live in such a way that they have the answer to every problem that comes down their family's pike. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. God will put you in a situation sometime in your life when you do not have the answer. You cannot be the answer to every single circumstance in life and family. God has made the Christian life in such a way that he holds the man responsible for the protection and the provision of the home. And I'm not saying you shouldn't protect your house. You ought to do everything you can to protect it. You ought to do everything you can to provide for it. But you need to understand something, dear sir. You are not the answer for your family. Jesus Christ is. And he puts you in a situation every now and then, like he put this man in here. This boy, this man's son is dying. He realized he was helpless. He had nothing he could do. And he realized, I cannot hesitate. I must immediately go to Jesus Christ. And he went to the Lord and laid out his request. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The bottom line is this, point number one, we need fathers of faith who go to Jesus Christ. I wonder, are you a daddy who has a strong prayer life? Are you a daddy that goes to the Lord no matter what's going on in your family? Or are you a daddy that says, well, I'll try to figure it out myself, and then when I can't figure it out, then I'll give the Lord a try? That's not a father of faith. A father of faith realizes that he cannot do it himself, that he has to have the Lord help. He has to have the Lord's help to make it through. And the first major thing we see about this father of faith is he went to the Lord. The second thing I want to bring to your attention, he not only went to the Lord, but number two, he besought the Lord. This is found in verses 47 and 49, where it says, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him, there it is, besought him, that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now I want you to notice what the Lord said. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. I can sense the brokenness in this man's heart in verse number 49. I can't imagine having my boy at the point of death. I can't imagine it. Here's this nobleman. His boy's dying. And the Lord says, you're not going to believe me unless you see signs and wonders. And the man says in verse 49, he said, sir, can't you hear his brokenness? Come down, or my child's going to die. The point I'm trying to make here, the word besought in verse 47 means to request, ask, beseech, desire, entreat, or pray. The idea is he's begging God. He's begging the Lord. But this man not only went to the Lord, he also laid his desire before the Lord and begged him for his help. Now there's two things about his beseeching I want you to notice with me. First of all, under this, he besought the Lord fervently. This word fervent means he did it with enthusiasm. He had a little bit of spizzorinctum in him, if you will. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly or fervently unto the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This man asked God for his help. He went to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he didn't go to him half-heartedly. He was begging God to step in and please take care of this problem. And God wants some fathers today who will come to the end of themselves and go to him. And when they come to him, they're not half-hearted. They're fervent in their prayer life. And they're saying, God, I've got to have your help. I can't make it without you. Please help me in this. He was fervent. But secondly, under this, he was faithful. Because there's a word here that carries the idea of something that brings this out. This word besought here also carries the idea of that he kept it up. It's the idea of that he didn't stop. He went to the Lord. And when he went to him, he was begging him. He was pleading with him. And in this word, it's all in this word. What a glorious word. That word besought. It means that he kept asking, kept begging, kept pleading. We need some daddies just like that who will not give up easy, who will keep praying and keep praying and hold on to the whole, I'm talking about the horns of the altar, until God bends his ear down and takes care of the problem. Father of faith. He went to the Lord. He besought the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We need fathers of faith who go to Jesus fervently and faithfully. I've already given this illustration in this series, but it applies here too. A little girl asked her father one day, said, Daddy, is God dead? He replied back and said, no, sweetie, why do you ask? She said, because I never hear you talking to him anymore. Ask you a question. Men, fathers, when's the last time you gathered your family around you and prayed? Some of you fathers listening to me right now, you've never done that. And that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. They may not remember many things in your home, but you ought to make sure that your family remembers, your children remembers when they leave, that they had a daddy who went to God and begged him and wouldn't stop praying. What a way for your children to remember you, fathers. Number one, he was a faithful father in that he went to Jesus. He was a faithful father. I'm talking about a father of faith because he besought the Lord. Number three, he was a father of faith because he believed God's word. We see this in verse number 50. And Jesus saith unto, by the way, what was this father asking the Lord to do? He wanted the Lord to come with him, right? He was asking the Lord, come with me. Please come ere my child die. The Lord did not go. He only gave his word. Look at it, verse 50. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now notice the next phrase. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. This is beautiful. And what's beautiful about it is that even though this man wanted Jesus to come with him, God answered him another way by giving him his word. And when the Lord gave him his word, this man could have questioned the Lord. He could have. He could have questioned the Lord not coming with him. But instead of questioning the Lord, this man, it simply says of him, the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. You know what we need? We need fathers of faith who say, if this book says it, we're going to believe it in our home. By the way, how do you do that in your home? You believe it yourself. And by the way, you prove you believe it not by your words, but by your actions. So I believe the Bible. Do you? Have you read it every day this week? Well, no, then you don't believe it. Because the command to read it every day is in it. I believe that Bible. Really? Did you pray? Well, no, then you don't believe it. You need to ask yourself a question. Do you really believe this book? By the way, can you believe this book? Sure. And whether you believe it or not, it's still true. Whether you believe it or not. A father of faith is simply one who believes whatever God tells him in his word. It's interesting, when trouble hits, Satan tries to cast doubt on the word of God. He does it every time. And may God help us to realize that when we're on the mountaintop, or we're in the valley, or we're in between, God's word is still true. He will not break his word. He never lies. You can take it to the bank. He will keep his word. Aren't you glad it's that way? By the way, if you couldn't believe his word, you don't know you're going to heaven, because that's the only thing you have to go on. How do you know you're saved? Because you've done what God told you to do. That's how you know you're saved. And I'm saying, if this word right here is false, why are we here? Why am I not out, listen, why am I not out playing baseball for a living? Why am I not out trying to make a living for myself? Are you listening to me? Why did I leave baseball if this book is not true? And I'm glad today. Now listen, I'm not saying it's God's will for everybody to leave, but for me it was. And all I'm saying to you is, I know this book is true. I believe it from cover to cover, but it's not true because I believe it. It's true because God said it, and you can put your faith in what God says. And this man right here, he had God's word to go on. That's all he had to go on, and he believed God's word. God, give us some men. Give us some fathers around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and say, if God's word says it, I will believe it. I will obey. I will do what God wants me to do. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is true, whether we believe it or not. And I've learned everything. Now get this, this right here is a great point. I've learned everything true about God is true about his word. For instance, is God faithful? Sure, so is his word. Does God ever lie? No, neither does his word. Is God everlasting? So is his word. Is he indestructible? So is his word. I'm saying whatever is true about God is true about this blessed book. That's why we at Buffalo Ridge are going to tie ourselves down to this book. Listen, I'm not going to help you if I give you my philosophy on life. Who cares what my philosophy is on life? Excuse me, who cares what your philosophy is either?
Somebody says, "Well, it's outdated, and I just don't feel that. I feel it'd be a better way to do it this way." Then you go your own way. If you don't mind, I'm gonna stick with the Bible. And you better tie yourself down to it. This man believed the Word of God. Titus 1:2 says God cannot lie. We need fathers who go to Jesus. We need fathers who beseech Jesus fervently and faithfully. We need fathers who will believe the Word of God. Number four, we need a father of faith who this man obeyed the Word of God. He not only believed it, he obeyed it. We see this in verse number 50. Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now, who told him to go? Jesus. This is not a trick question. Who's the one that said, "Go your way"? Jesus did. And the Bible says he went his way. That's a great way to live your life right there. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. Does anybody misunderstand that? Anybody at all? I want the Lord to make me a preacher, and I feel like he's made me one like this, I hope, that you can understand me. Because if you don't understand what I'm saying, it's not going to help you. If you ever leave here and say, "What did he say? What was he trying to tell me?" then I've missed it. But I'm telling you right now, listen to me. God wants the men at Buffalo Ridge, he wants the ladies as far as that's concerned too, but specifically in context, he wants the fathers at Buffalo Ridge to go to him, to beg him faithfully and fervently. He wants them to believe his book and obey his book. Anybody not with me so far? It's simple, isn't it? But how many people are messing up on simple truths? You know, it's one thing to believe it. It's another to obey it. And God wants his fathers to be ones who not only believe what he says, but will obey what he says. James 1:22, "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Luke 11:28, "But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." The Bible says in Luke 6:46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's a logical question, isn't it? Why do you call me Lord, but you don't obey me? Really, how's that possible? I mean, really, when you think about it, how's it possible to say, "No, Lord"? How's that possible? It's impossible! How in the world can you say, "He's Lord," but "No, I'm not doing that"? You can't. For instance, I'm on blood pressure medication. Why? Look in the mirror when you get home. No, I'm just kidding with you. I'm just playing. I inherited it from my mom, I guess, because her side of the family has high blood pressure, and I inherited that a little bit, so I'm on a blood pressure pill. And it's interesting. I'm not glad I've got it. I didn't jump for joy when I went to the doctor and he said, "Well, it looks like you've got a little bit of high blood pressure." I didn't go, "Woohoo! Glory to God!" No, I didn't do that. But let me ask you a question. Was it good that I found out about it? Sure, because that stuff can kill you. I know what you're saying. I wish you hadn't have found out about it. Yeah. What am I saying? Was it good that he wrote a prescription? Yes. Was it good that I got it filled? Yes. Is it good that I read the instructions before I take it? Sure. Just take one, don't take four. You see what I'm saying? But here's the point I'm trying to make here. It's one thing to know the instructions. It's another thing to swallow the pill. If you know the instructions but you don't take the medicine, it's not going to affect your life. Now you need to know the instructions, but you need to swallow the pill too. Because when you obey, that's when it changes your life. This man not only believed the Bible, he obeyed the Bible, God's word. Then there's a fifth thing. There's only two more here. We see that this man, number five, trusted Christ. Look at verse number 53. The Bible says, "So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed." Beautiful, isn't it? This father became a true child of God in verse 53. And what I'm saying to you is this. Let me say here that you can never be a father of faith until, first of all, you are a father in faith. You must be in the faith before you can be of it. And what I'm saying to you is this: do you know for sure, now I'm talking to everybody, specifically fathers here, but I'm talking to everybody, listen to me, do you know for sure that you're a child of God? Do you really know that? Now listen, you could be a father who leaves a great estate. You can be a father who leaves lots of money to your children, your grandchildren, apply it to whatever you want to apply it to. You can be a father who leaves all kinds of materialistic things, and you can think that you're leaving behind the best thing. But let me tell you something. If you're not a child of God, you are leaving your children a spiritual bankrupt account. They're bankrupt. Because the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you've never trusted Christ, do it today. Do it today. Why? Because number one, He loves you. He died for you, and He is a wonderful, magnificent, holy Savior. And I fully, highly, highly, highly recommend Him. Amen. One startling bit of research conducted by a Christian Businessmen's Committee found the following, and here's what it says. When the father is an active believer, there's about a 75% likelihood that the children will also become an active believer. But if only the mother is a believer, this likelihood is dramatically reduced to 15%. Did you hear what I just said? Now, is it a guaranteed fact if the daddy's saved that the children will be saved? No. Because that is trying to put God in a box, and that takes free will out of it. You see what I'm saying? But there's a more likelihood when the man in the home, the father, is a born-again child of God. There is more of a likelihood that the children will become a father, will become a believer like their father instead of a believer like their mother. Fathers are important, folks. And if you are one, what an exalted privilege and responsibility He's given you. Then there's a sixth thing. And all these deserve sermons by themselves, really, when you think about it. He went to Jesus. He besought the Lord fervently and faithfully. He believed the Word of God. He obeyed the Word of God. He trusted Christ as his Savior. And then number six, he shared his faith with his family. Boy, I like that. We see this in verse 53 again. It says, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Question, how did his house find out about the Lord? How did his house find out that it was at the same hour that Jesus told him? How? There's no doubt about it. The daddy told him. And what I'm saying to you here is one of the greatest things that a father of faith can do is to gather his family, his wife, his children, and set them down and explain to them how God changed his life. And I wonder today, do your children know your testimony like you? I can give you a personal illustration of this. Yesterday, Judson was out soul winning with me, out visiting. And he kind of shocked me. He kind of shocked me. But this convicts me. He's going on 7 years old, and here's what he said. He said, Daddy! He said, when were you saved? And that revealed something to me. Have I never told him? Now, I think I have. But it reveals something to me that boy, I have not set him down enough and explained to him, here's how Daddy came to know the Lord, and here's what Jesus means to me now. And you know, even with this, here's what that boy told me. We was riding around, visiting. And he said, Daddy, he said, why does Jesus have to come at any time? I said, well, it's just the way he made it. And he looked at me and he said, but Daddy, he said, I don't want one person to burn in hell. 6 years old. Daddies, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you set your teenager down and said, just before you leave the house, I want to tell you again what God means to me. They may not remember much about you, but they'll remember that, because God will make sure they do. Somebody says, I can't do that. I'm just shy and I just can't do that. Listen, don't swallow the lie of the devil. For instance, I have learned that whatever the devil tries to use to keep you from doing something could be the exact thing that the Lord uses to keep you humble. My stuttering, you've heard some of it this morning. I stuttered some in Sunday school today. And I realize, this is a little bit funny, it really is. Now my dad may not remember this, he's here. But I got nervous around him one time when I was growing up in the house and the phone rang. And my nervousness creates my stuttering. And my stuttering is where I get closed up, nothing comes out. In other words, I'm afraid sometimes that I'd knock on a door to soul win, somebody would answer the door and I'd just be standing there. Can I help you? How would you like that to take place? I cracked myself up right there, folks. The phone rang at the house one day and I got nervous. I couldn't say hello to save my life. I threw the phone at my dad and said, you answer it. Now, how I got you answered out, I have no idea. But through my stuttering, here's how the devil would work. I don't know why I'm saying this, but maybe this is helping somebody. The devil would try to work to keep me from going soul winning. Because he'd say, you're not even going to get your name out of your mouth. But you know what I've learned? I've learned that what the devil tried to use to stop me is what the Lord uses to keep me humble. Because I'm conscious of the fact, are you listening? I'm conscious of the fact that unless he helps me, I'm not talking to you right now. I'm conscious of that. He's called me to pastor Buffalo Ridge. And I'm a stutterer that without his help can't even say my name. So don't listen. Don't try to use excuses with God. They don't go very far. I can't do that. You want me to gather my family around and all that? I can't do it. Wait a minute. What you're really saying is that you don't trust God to do it through you. Amen. Anybody out there with me? Now, I can say that with authority because I'm living that. I'm living proof of that. I really am. So many fathers are concerned about social status. So many fathers are concerned about financial security. However, we need fathers of faith who gather their families and share their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 8:36, for what should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Isaiah 38:19, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. What a powerful verse. Be a father of faith who shares his faith with his family and others. Now I'm just about done. That doesn't mean you are. There's a lady. She made this statement. She was blonde and beautiful with a tumble of tawny curls. 3 years of age, she would climb into her daddy's lap, snuggle up with a wide, satisfied smile and purr and say, this is my safe place. And so it was, dads, husbands. You are the safe place. You are our protector and provider. This is a lady saying this. And when you gather us for a time with God, we need a safe place. A safe place, not a lecture. A safe place, not a sermon. A very human dad and husband who simply cares about God and us. We don't need or even want a spiritual giant. We just want you. And we need a gathering time with the phone unplugged where it's safe to say to each other, how are you and the Lord getting along? How can we pray today? We need a safe place to cry, to laugh, to sing, to rejoice, to challenge, to share, and sometimes not to share and have it be okay. We need a time with you that's relaxed, unstiff, when we can pray honestly in simple sentences from our hearts, unfixed, unrigid, unroutine, unshackled, where God has the last word. We need a gentleman leader, not a general, gracious, relaxed human, a family shepherd who exhibits not infallible authority, but a thirst for God. Thanks for listening, Dad, husband. Remember, we need you, your family. There are little eyes upon you and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do. And a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be just like you. You're the little fellow's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever arise. He believes in you devoutly, holds that all you say and do. He will say and do in your way when he's grown up to be like you. There's a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You're setting an example every day in all you do for the little boy who's waiting to grow up to be just like you. A teardrop crept in my eye as I knelt on bended knee next to a gold-haired tiny lad whose age was just past 3. They prayed with such simplicity, "Please make me big and strong. Just like Daddy, don't you see? Watch over me all night long. Jesus, make me tall and brave, like my Daddy next to me." This simple prayer they prayed tonight filled my heart with humility. As I heard his voice so wee and small offer his prayer to God, I thought these little footsteps someday my path may trod. Oh Lord, as I turn my eyes above and guidance ask from thee, keep my walk ever so straight for the little feet that follow me. Buoy me when I stumble and lift me when I fail. Guard this tiny bit of boy as he travels down life's trail.